Thank you, Ed, for reading that. Those that didn't, might not know, that was Ed Darlington that did the reading for us. My name is Dave Jones, the ones that don't know me. The praise of the Lord is something that we all need to realize. To praise the Lord is the main person or the main entity that we need to praise. That's the reason I asked Ed to read that. Not only just men, women, children, old men, but he mentions all the serpents, all the cattle, all everything. God deserves that praise. When we talk about praise, praise, if you look up the definition of it, it means to worship God. It means to honor God. It means to glorify God. It means to applaud. In other words, and that there is not necessarily God. But it also means to pay tribute or gratitude for a benefit that's for something that you didn't have. And most certainly, we should praise God for that. For when we were yet sinners, He gave His Son for our sins. If anyone deserves praise, it's God. Turn our Bibles over to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, where I want to go. In the 27th chapter, a few weeks ago, we had been on a Wednesday evening class, we'd been studying in the book of Proverbs, and we discussed different words and phrases out of the book of Proverbs that we could look at and glean lessons from, what we could get out of this. One of the words or the word I was used to or given to discuss or to look at was the words that we speak. There's a verse of scripture here in the 27th chapter I want you to look at. The second verse. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own lips, a stranger, and not your own lips, or not your own mouth. When we go to thinking about praise, we didn't get to this in the class, and I mentioned to Brother Randy after the class was over, I said, boy, I wanted to get to that. He said, well, maybe you can make a talk, a small talk on that. Guess what? That's what I'm making my talk on this afternoon. But don't we all like to get praise as individuals? Whenever you do something, if someone gets up and makes a talk up here, don't you like to have someone comment and say, oh, you did a good job handling the scriptures there. That's the way I understand it. Yeah, we do. So the question came up, should we praise one another? Keep in mind what James wrote in the 4th chapter. Remember what he said? God resisteth the who? The proud. But he giveth grace to who? The humble. Peter wrote the very same words in the 5th chapter, or 1 Peter in the 5th verse. Very same words. When we get praise, and we like to get that, we really do. I don't think there's a man alive that don't like to get a compliment. Now, that there's what praise is. when you applaud somebody. I don't know how many teachers we have out here. I know we have several from our congregation. When you have a child in your class and he does a good job in class, he answers the questions, he does a good job on test, what do you tell him? Yeah. Good job. In other words, you're giving him praise. Now, does God expect us to praise one another? Now, think about that and think about what James wrote and what Peter wrote. Let's address this for a minute. Like I say, I wanted Ed to read that there because of a truth. All praise goes to God. And I think we're going to get a better picture of this as we go along. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. The 5th chapter and the 11th verse. Man, I turned there and I thought, wait a minute, that ain't what that says. But I was in the wrong book. I was in Timothy. No wonder. First chapter, or Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. It says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do, as you do. When Paul wrote to the church here at Thessalonica, he says, comfort yourselves together. In other words, you know what it is to comfort somebody, don't you? You draw them in close, you kind of get a hug with them, you sit real close to them. You're comforting yourselves together. That's what he wants brothers and sisters to do. To comfort ourselves together and edify one another. In other words, build each other up. How do we build each other up? It's the same way as that child in a classroom. When they do something good, you praise them for it. You encourage them. I think God wants us to do the same thing. Let's go a little bit further. 1 Thessalonians, the 1st chapter. The 2nd and 3rd verse of that 1st chapter. Paul writes here, says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your works of faith, labor of love, patience, and hope in our Lord Jesus Christ and in the sight of our God and our Father. Do you think Paul was giving them praise? When he says, I thank thee that you're like this, that he knows that they're like this, back over in the Colossian letter and the Philippian letter, he does the same thing. He says, I give thanks for you always. In other words, he's trying to lift them up, encourage them. He's giving them praise. Let's go a little bit further. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and the 25th verse. This chapter and this verse is commonly referred to, and a lot of times it's people refer to this here, talking about the assembly, how we shouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And by truth, we shouldn't. But the point I want to get out of this, let us look at the 24th and 25th verse. Let us consider one another and provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. God wants us to come together. He wants us to comfort each other. He wants us to exhort each other. Let's look a little bit further. Go over to the book of Romans, the 14th chapter. And the 19th verse. Let us therefore follow after these things which make for peace, and the things with which one may edify another. God wants us doing this. Follow after peace. And seek for the things where we can build each other up. You're over in that 13th chapter, in the very, very first part of that there. He's considering how we're to be subject unto the higher powers. And of the truth, we're supposed to be in subject to higher powers, those that are in authority. But he makes an interesting statement in the latter part of that third verse, and I want you to look at it. Well, I'll read the whole. It says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but for the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt receive praise of the same. God realizes if we do what's good, we'll receive praise for it. And that there is no matter whether it's from our brothers or from people out in the world. And that's what he's talking about here, that if you do that's good, you're going to receive praise for it. And by all rights, we should. So does God expect us to comfort each other together? Does he expect us to exhort one another? Does he expect us to edify one another? Does he expect us to praise one another? And I believe when we ask ourselves that question, we're going to answer, absolutely. God does expect that from us. He wants us to build each other up. He wants us to encourage each other. Now, and it's not a question whether we should or praise one another, but the question comes down to how are we supposed to receive the praise? Now, that's what it comes down to. Whenever we receive praise from somebody, how do we receive that? Keep in mind what James wrote and what Peter wrote. So how do we receive praise? I want to take time to look at just four different examples. First of all, Acts 14th chapter. This is where Paul and Barnabas was in Lystra, the city of Lystra. There was an impotent man that was crippled from his youth up. And Paul and Barnabas, to put it shortly, they healed him. And after they healed him, the people, they said, man, these are gods that's come amongst us. They called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius. Because the scripture said he was the chief speaker. What did they do? Now, they received praise. Now, they were receiving praise beyond anything that we could imagine. We're told that the people, after they did this, that they had even got the animals together. They was ready to do sacrifice at the gates. How did Paul and Barnabas handle that? They ran amongst them, and said, "We're man. We're just like you." Now keep that in mind. This is how Paul and Barnabas handled praise when they got it. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Another example we have. The 19th chapter. This is where the angel of God was revealing to John, the apostle John, some of the things that he revealed to him. In this 19th chapter, in the 10th verse, it says, "And I," and he's John speaking here, he says, "And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that had the testimony of Jesus." Worship God for the testimony of Jesus and the spirit of his prophecy. Even an angel of God. Now, I don't know why John felt like he needed to fall down and worship him. Maybe because he was an angel. I don't know. But he made special occasion, just like Barnabas and Paul did. Don't do this. Worship God. Again, over in the 22nd chapter of the same book. Again, John was showed something by the angel of God. Verses 8 and 9. Says, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of the brethren, and of the prophets, of them who worship the words of this book." Worship God. Again, the angel revealed to John who the praise should be. See where I'm going with this? Let's go over to the book of Numbers. Numbers, 20th chapter. In this situation we have here in the book of Numbers, Moses was told to smite the rock that would bring forth water for the children of Israel to drink. Let's just read verse 10 through 12. It says, "And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them." Moses wasn't allowed to go into the promised land for one thing. He didn't give God the glory. Okay, let's go a little bit further. Let's go back over into the New Testament. Acts, the 12th chapter. Herod, we're going to talk about Herod here just for a few minutes. Herod was a king. And Herod stood up to give a speech to the people. In verses 21, said, "Upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration to the people. And the people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of a God and not of a man. Said, immediately an angel of the Lord smote him Because he gave what? Not God the glory. I submit to you. Yeah. We're to praise each other. I think God expects us to build each other up and praise each other for when we do good. But I think we get a clear picture here. Paul and Barnabas didn't want the praise. An angel of God didn't want the praise. Moses didn't give the praise, or neither did Herod, where it belonged. So do we understand? Paul, in the 17th chapter, he left Thessalonica and he'd been to Berea. And he went to Athens. And when he was at Athens, he was there alone. I remember Mars Hill was there, and he looked up and he'd seen all these here different things that they had for the different gods. And he began to proclaim to them the one true God. Remember what he said in that 28th verse? He said, in him, we're talking about God, we live, we move, and we have our being. In other words, if we realize that in God we live, we move, and we have our being, everything we do, we couldn't do it if it wasn't for God. And that's the basic of it. So whenever we get praise, yeah, it's good to get praise. It builds us up, it helps us to grow. But remember where it come from. God wouldn't. He gives us the ability. We all have ability to do something, one thing or another. But we need to realize that comes from God. He's the one that deserves the praise. Let a stranger praise you and not your own mouth. And not your own lips. That's why Paul wrote what he did. Let's go back over the book of Proverbs. The 27th verse. Said, it is not good to eat much honey. For a man to search out his own glory, it's not good. Now, why is it good not to eat much honey? It's the same way if we're seeking out our own glory, our own praise from men. Look back in the 16th verse. Hast thou found honey? Eat as much as it is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. If we eat too much honey, it's not good for us. It's going to make our body sick. If we take in too much praise and we start to have pride in ourselves and begin to get proud, it's like honey. It's not good for us. And it'll put us away from God. That's my thoughts. Thank you for your time.